Hey guys, welcome to the Evan and Caitlin podcast, the podcast where we take your Q's and turn them into A's.
No, we turn them into Q's because Evan did the wrong link for our Q&A and it says EKQ and Q.
Yeah, go to bit.ly/EKQ and Q because I kind of messed that up. But if you do want to ask us questions right now, go to that URL.
It's in the chat, yeah.
Is going to be posting a little link there, and you guys can ask us questions.
Mm-hmm. And the reason we're doing that link instead of just reading them from the chat is a few reasons. One, it's easier to not have repeats because our mods are going to help us not have repeats in there. Two, you can upvote the questions. So if there's one you really want to see answered, you can upvote it. And I think there was a third reason, but I forgot. So,
hey, you know, we're trying to streamline. We're trying to lean into the technology.
Yay! I knew you were going to do the yay.
All right. So this is our very...
second.
This is our very second live Q&A podcast.
Yeah.
Hopefully we've learned some lessons from the first one. We aren't going to be playing a game again because that was...
too much chaos. We haven't figured out how to make that less chaotic yet. But I think just like some Q&As will be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how are you guys doing so far?
It's so funny because I want to be in like live stream mode where I'm like, oh, let's pause for a second and say hi to everyone in the chat and reply to everyone. But then that doesn't make for a very good podcast.
No, I think that like we'll cut this whole thing out.
Hey, everyone.
Hey, everyone. I think we'll use that really bad. We'll use that really bad intro.
Okay.
And then we'll cut there. And we'll like cut this
let's
little.
Get into the Q&A.
we'll like leave this chunk out, and then we'll get into some serious Q&As once people have a little bit of time to submit their Q&As or their Qs.
I guess you can submit your A's also, but we won't be reading them.
No. Let's see. Should we jump? Should we just jump into it?
Just jump into it. Yeah. Is that our Q&A music?
That's our Q&A music.
Oh, I forgot.
It's been so long since we did it. All right. So number one from Wither Prime. Did you get any food from IKEA while you were there?
You know what? Normally we do, because normally we get like the dollar hot dogs, but...
they are strangely tasty.
They're so good. And the chips, so good.
So good.
The only reason we didn't is because Houston just recently got an In-N-Out, and so we went to In-N-Out on the way, and so we were full.
It was so good. I felt like I was just in California. Caitlin and I both spent some time living in California when we were growing up, and like eating at In-N-Out just makes you feel like you're in California.
Yeah.
But you don't have to pay as much money to live there.
Let's see. How do we check off a question once we... do we just like delete it once we do that? I don't know. Yeah. I'll just start going on the next one. Do you ever go back... this is from Will Bro Zinc. Do you ever go back and watch your first videos just to compare them to current videos? We do every now and then go back. I think like...
We don't do it intentionally to look at them and compare, but we have gone back a few times and
yeah,
from my perspective, not that I'm biased or anything, but I'm like, wow, those are still really good. I'm really proud of them. I'm proud of the work that we did. And it's also so crazy thinking about how much our style has changed and everything like that.
Yeah. We don't purposely seek it out, but sometimes we'll have to go to a video to like pull a link from something or like get a clip that we want to use in a current video. And then we end up getting sucked in and we're like, oh, this is so weird. It's especially weird seeing like the old garage setup.
Oh yeah.
Especially from like way, way back. Like
remember how many videos had rolling shutter and how many comments we got
rolling shutter. Yeah. And we had like no lighting in the garage so long. And so we just kept the door open the whole time. But then, you know, you're reliant on the sun lighting, which sometimes is super low and then could go from low to super bright. So we'd have clips that like a continuous clip where it starts out really low and then all of a sudden we're blown out.
And now we have 20 different light bulbs in our garage.
Yeah, and we keep the door closed.
Oh, no, we have even more. We have 21 light bulbs since we added the big one behind us. And now we have two extra tube lights behind us underneath the thing. So now we have 23 individual light sources in our garage trying to get it as even as possible, all with the same color profile.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
Yeah, it's a a lot of light bulbs. I didn't realize you had the number in your head, like, readily available.
I counted the other day when we were filming the alcohol ink video, because I wanted to, like, say in that video, I don't think I did.
No.
But I wanted to, like, say in that video, okay, we need to turn some of the light bulbs off because there are 20 light bulbs on and it's, like, blowing this beautiful, like, colored light bulb out. And I just, like, I counted in advance while you were doing something else. I'm like, I need to count the light bulbs. I want to say it. It's going to be interesting. And I saved it and I remembered it.
And for now, for this
for
moment.
Now. Yes.
Wow, I'm impressed.
Are there any projects you filmed but didn't make into a video? I was actually looking through. This is something I'm not sure if we've talked about yet. I wanted to make a one-way valve for the garage. Remember that? But because we had...
What do you mean for the garage?
We have our dryer. For the heat. Yeah. We have our dryer hooked up to a vent that goes up to the roof to blow stuff, the hot air out, because that's what dryers do. Good explanation. And for a while there, we thought about heating and cooling our garage with a little portable rolling unit. And we wanted to hook that heat exhaust from that up to the same port. So I wanted to try to make like a one-way valve system so that both those things could use the same ports and the same exhaust. And I 3D printed something and it was like a one-way valve hinge thing. It looked so cool. It worked too. And there's a spring embedded in it. And we have all this footage of me prototyping and testing it and everything. But then when we actually used it,
it melted immediately.
It didn't melt immediately. It melted after the first use.
I mean, so like basically
it melted within 40 minutes. So I think that's the main thing that I could think of, that we're like,
I have another
one. We filmed some and it completely failed.
I have one where we filmed even more and it wasn't even just us filming. We had someone else with us.
What was that?
It was, I think the reason we didn't turn it into a video is because we just didn't know what it was going to be. But we want to do something, again, with 3D printing. We wanted to 3D print and design our own custom like emojis and letters for letterboards.
Oh yeah.
Out of like copper filament. And so we were gonna like designed all these custom emojis.
It's like halfway filmed.
Yeah, we did the copper filament. We printed a bunch of letters.
We got the tabs right.
Yeah, we tested like 5 different methods to tumble them to get them
Caitlin
shiny.
Caitlin designed a whole bunch of really cute like emojis. Like there's a pineapple.
The pineapple's the main one I remember. so
I think
cute.
There were a few other ones. All like letters, of course. But
and we had, he's our friend Taylor. He at the time worked for Autodesk and it was going to be like an Autodesk. I don't know. They weren't like sponsoring it. I don't remember why he was a part of it. I think he was just in town and we were like, hey, we're doing this. Do you want to like film with us? And yeah, that just, I don't know. It went so off the rails because we couldn't get the things to shine up the right way. And then they left like a residue on our white letterboard. And we were like, oh, that's not great.
Well, I'm not representing. Those projects don't represent our brand right here. Make fail, make fail. Make fail, give up.
Yeah, that's the other shirt that we don't have. Let's
say what we did for each of those. So for the AC problem, we basically just like reclosed that port on the inside.
Although we did have a hole in our wall for about a year.
And we just installed a mini split. And the mini split was a much better solution. A mini split. Oh, geez. I'm a fan of mini splits now. Like they're so efficient. They're so fast working and everything. So in the end, it completely worked.
And then for the copper filament... Maybe we did just give up on that one.
For the copper filament, we did just kind of give up. Well, it's not that we really gave up.
We just got bored.
We actually wanted to expand.
Yeah.
We thought that the scope of like, hey, we designed these letters, we printed them and polished them, and that's it. We were like, where's the challenge? Where's the meat?
Yeah.
Where's the story? So it kind of got lost in an identity crisis because all of our videos, we want to have a strong punch, a strong story, a strong identity.
It just seemed like we weren't doing enough
to justify
a video.
And then we kind of thought we'd expand it with other copper prints. But then it's just us printing a whole bunch of copper things, polishing them, and then what's the point in that? So it's not really make, fail, give up. It's make, fail. If it can't turn into a video, then it kind of gets filed in like our backlog of things that we can pull from in the future.
Yeah.
So that if in the future we want to do something that involves a copper print, we're already partway down that pathway, and we can maybe even pull some elements of those videos.
We've had that Tumblr for 2 years, haven't used it since, but you know, if we need a Tumblr, we got it.
We got it. Where did y'all put the treadmill computer? I'm not sure if I understand that question, but we can talk some about the treadmill computer.
Yeah, so the treadmill desks are actually in our breakfast nook, which, you know, we don't need two eating areas. A lot of people will turn that into like a little sitting area or just have it as like a breakfast nook that they never eat in. Ours formerly was just like a place where we kept like Amazon packages that we needed to deal with, and like
it was one of the junk rooms.
It was one of the many junk rooms, so that's where they are.
Well, I think that also there might be another thing. The computer is actually a Raspberry Pi 4.
Oh, is that what the question is?
So it's a really, really tiny computer, but we also have a link so that we can access our big, powerful,
like editing
computer. i9 16 gigabyte RAM computers over here that's in our office, which is where we're at now, so that we can use the power of those computers remotely if we want to.
Yeah. Okay, let's see. What's your dream project that you would like to make / do at some point? I think one thing, this isn't really one project, it's kind of a series, but eventually, I mean, we're already kind of growing out of this house in terms of what we need for workshop space and what we need for like office/ studio space. And so I think it'd be really fun to get like a fixer-upper type house and just redo a ton of it.
Yeah, like the details there, it's a little bit flexible. We could buy a house that has good bones and build a big workshop. We could buy a workshop and add a house to the side of it. I'm not fully sure.
It's kind of what nebulous.
Order would go in, or we just buy a plot of land and like build the whole thing from scratch. But that just seems like so much work and so many decisions. Yeah. But we do need like more space, because our house is the filming area. And Chris actually clarified, I was basically asking what room it was in. Y'all seem to be running out of rooms.
Oh, we are, yes.
We completely are running out of rooms. And I think that one question we've seen in like our social areas where you guys leave comments and feedback is like, what happened to that junk over here? What happened to that junk over here? Where do you move that junk?
It's so constantly being moved.
Yeah, we still have it somewhere.
Okay, I will say two things. One, we accumulate stuff so much faster now than we used to. We used to be pretty good about keeping it minimal.
There was a point where we reached peak stuff input to our life, and it's been going down.
It's been going down.
The rate at which we acquire new stuff has been reduced dramatically.
With, like, starting the business, getting all the tools that we needed to do stuff, and then at the same time, every week we're like making things, so we're always bringing like a new piece of furniture or like decor item or art or whatever every single week into the house. And so it builds up really fast. But we've gone from 3 completely just filled with stuff areas, which was the garage, the breakfast nook, and the guest room. And now it's only one.
Yeah.
And that one gets shuffled depending on what room we're working in. So like, you know.
So when we cleared out the garage, all of that junk that we didn't have time to deal with moved into the breakfast nook. When we turned the breakfast nook into the
to the breakfast nook and the guest room. When we redid the guest room,
all of it moved to the breakfast nook.
All of it moved to the breakfast nook. And then when we did the gaming treadmills, we had to put it all back in the guest room. And we had just recently completed
the
guest room project. And I felt like such a failure, like putting all that stuff back in. It was so sad. But even though like I knew we would have to, because you got to put it somewhere. We're still trying to like deal with it, you know. And like we take stuff to Goodwill and give things to friends and family and stuff like that. But it just accumulates fast.
So do you have any plans for more home improvement type projects coming up soon? Asked by Trickman.
We have a patio project coming out soon. We're actually going to start that probably this week because the weather is a lot nicer now than it will be. The video is going to be like late January, but that's when it's super cold in Texas, you know, like 40.
The finish we want to apply to the back patio requires a certain temperature. So it's kind of like the clock is ticking. If we don't do this project soon, we're just gonna have to wait months, and we already have the sponsor lined up and we're already committed, so
we have to do it. Like
we have to do it.
Now. But yeah, it's like a full backyard patio kind of makeover
thing. And we're going to have some little projects added onto it. I think it might be a small separate video, but we're going to kind of like do a big makeover and a little side DIY that complement each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the next one. But we are kind of running out of like, not running out. I mean, we could make over a room just to make it over, but we're kind of running out of things that like practically make sense, you know? Just because we've done a lot of the rooms in this house.
Well, also, there aren't many rooms in the house that need to be renovated. I mean, we might redo our guest bathroom that I'm pointing to over there. Yes. Unnecessarily.
Yeah, there's a few like smaller things. And there's some stuff like we get a lot of comments like, oh, you guys should repaint your kitchen cabinets because they're kind of like an orangey wood. And I'm like, yeah, that'd be nice. If someone else did it, because yeah. I don't want to, I just don't want to do that.
There's just so much repetitive work. There's a lot of time invested for like not that much video time because
we just time lapse through all the painting because it's not that interesting. But yeah, well, you know, we'll kind of play it by ear in terms of like more home renovation things, or eventually we'll just end up moving because we need more space.
What's your most disappointing build or project that just never came out that you want the way you wanted it to from Meltron 11? I don't think that there was anything where I'm like, da, 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 da.
No, I mean, we've had moments of that where we did something and it really didn't look nice, but usually we just redo it.
I feel like there... Oh, no. I have two. The resin planets for a little bit. That wasn't a big disappointment. I think that they turned out really cool. It just wasn't exactly what we expected. So I think it was a expectation versus reality type moment there. And
but it was also one of those projects that we were like, this just sounds kind of fun to do. Yeah. Let's just try it.
So in terms of the video, I'm not disappointed. I think the video turned out well. But the project wasn't exactly what I expected. One other thing. Oh, this is probably the biggest. The resin and concrete,
like the potato gems.
Potato gems.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Because there were moments where I'm like, "Wow, this looks so cool. This is exactly what I wanted."
I still want to find a way to make them work. Like to make that combination of materials work.
We just need to be more patient. We just need to do it and let them dry in between layers.
Did we try that?
No, I don't remember. All we did is we just mixed things wet. Oh, that's all we did. I'm pretty sure we just mixed them
wet. So, like, just in case y'all don't know what video we're talking about, it's we cut potatoes to make them look like faceted. We vacuum formed them to make molds. And then in those molds, we did different combinations of white concrete and resin. And we wanted to make, like, little rocky gem-looking things. I didn't realize that we never, like, let one dry before doing the other.
I'm doubting it now because I think that we did now.
Okay.
But it still didn't work the way that we wanted.
I know. And they had so much potential. We still have them. They're just like, we have the ones that we never removed the plastic from because it basically fused to the plastic.
You know, I think that we could probably do that better now.
I think we could. People had suggestions of like leaving it in the water cup so it doesn't overheat.
Oh, yeah.
Because some of it was like, it fusing to the plastic.
I think that we could also go with silicone, which is higher temperature.
I know. It's just so much easier to do the vacuum form molds.
I think that we have maybe two different ideas. We have... vacuum formed molds, which I want to do again because those were just really fun, really satisfying, so really satisfying. Fast.
Yeah.
So I feel like there's potential there to do something with that. And then I think that there's mixing resin and concrete. And I think that we can kind of split that into two different videos. We don't necessarily need to do that exact combo again.
Yeah.
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 So it's something.
Yeah. That is one. If there's one new skill you could learn and share it on ENK, what would it be? By the Britain DC. I think it'd be cool to learn how to like turn stuff on a lathe, mostly because there's a lot of really cool resin stuff you can do on a lathe. So I think that would be cool. It also just seems very like satisfying.
Yeah, Bob did a lamp the other day. Bob from I Like resin. To Make Stuff did a lamp with resin and he turned it on the lathe to finish it up.
Yeah. I just think, I don't know.
I think there's definitely some potential there. Although, there aren't that many round, long objects you can, like, there
doesn't are have to be long. Different. It could be, like, a bowl. It could be a ring. It could be, like, a wand.
I want to learn forging more and metalworking. Oh, yeah. Like, I just, I don't know. You guys might have seen the collaboration we did with Alex Steele, but there's another thing that we didn't really get to make a video about. We went to Lincoln through an event.
Oh, Spring Make?
Spring Make. And at Spring Make, they had a knife making class, and I made a little crescent so moon knife.
It's like the blade is this tall, but it's like fat. It's really cute.
It's so cool. So we could like order some laser cut tool steel that we can use for blades, so we don't need to do that hard part in-house. And we could just, you know, forge it, quench it, add an edge to it, make some resin or wood handles. I think that'd be really, really cool. I definitely want to.
And I can turn the handles on the lathe.
No, you can't. You could, and then it'd just be a cylindrical thing. And then you could drill it, and then we can stick the tang in there.
Yeah. Tang it up.
And you could maybe add some metal elements. Like you could also add some
brass pins.
Brass elements to it and everything. That'd actually be kind of cool.
So cool. Yeah. I think the thing with me in blacksmithing is I got spoiled on the power hammer.
Yeah.
It's just so fast.
But the good thing about getting the shape cut out on the laser jet and then forging it a little bit is all you need to do is just bring the tip in a little bit and then beat it up to give the cool texture, and then like you're
that's
done.
That's true. That is a lot easier than like starting with like a chunk of steel and trying to shape it.
And trying to draw it out and shape the whole thing. That's just a lot of work.
Yeah, that's true.
But in terms of what we want to show our skills developing, Bob was talking about something very similar on the Making It podcast. And he was talking about like his goals in general with the channel. And I think that one thing that I really want to do, it's a vision I've had in my head since I was like 4 or something. Maybe not 4. I'm exaggerating. But I always wanted to have a shop, have all of the skills, have all of the tools to make anything at any time out of any material and just realize the visions that we have in our head. And I think that's eventually where we want to get, whether the best way to get there is 3D printing or CNC or welding or leather working or whatever it is. I basically want to level up our skills to a good enough level at everything.
Yeah.
So then we can just do anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't like disagree with that. I think it's a cool goal. But see,
long term.
My issue is that a lot of those things require full sets of equipment.
Well, that's when we get our giant workshop.
Yeah.
In the future.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In the future.
We're like the scope of our future workshop keeps on increasing.
It's going to be bigger than our house.
It's going to be bigger than our house.
We need more workshop space than house space.
One dream thing that we have for the future space is to have a like really clean white backdrop, white like workbench or something like that. Like really like clean, aesthetically pleasing set so that we can do our art there, so we can do photo shoots there. And I think it'd be kind of cool to live stream some crafts from there.
I think the I think we can have
our gaming live streaming and then our workshop live streaming.
But I think the main thing is having room to have multiple sets.
Yeah, multiple sets.
I think the white is good for some stuff, but I don't want to like just film most videos in there. I like a little bit more stuff going on.
Yeah.
Like I like having like doodads and things we've made in the background, like our Minecraft pickaxe. And
so we can have like a cozy styled set. We can have our pure white set, and then we can have our workshop set. So we have 3 sets at least.
Yeah.
And we just want to have a big warehouse where we just have multiple sets.
Yeah.
And then we have like workshop over there, metal shop, or like wood shop over here, metal shop over there.
That'd be sweet.
We just want it all.
Yeah.
and everything has lights always set up, and we can just walk into an area, boom, all the lights are all good.
Yes.
The color balance is all perfect, and we can just not worry about any of that and just film really good videos.
That'd be sweet. Yeah, because right now it's anytime we're switching what kind of project we're doing, we often have to do like a big game of Tetris in the shop if we need to like, if we're switching from like a woodworking project to a CNC project, like everything has to get switched around. So it will be nice.
Yeah, someone noted in the chat, you guys still have room in your garage. And like, I'm not sure if you're being sarcastic or not, because it's like really, maybe we just do a really good job at hiding how bad it is, because
it's bad. It's workable.
We just shuffle things.
Yeah, we just shuffle things.
Yeah, it's like we have a rotating pile of stuff that we just kind of move.
It's basically
out of the way.
The set and storage cabinets on one side, and then the other side is just like Tetris. We have everything's on wheels and we just like roll things in and out, but there's not room to bring in more things.
No.
Bringing in more things would mean like we lose the space we need to like take one thing out and put the other thing back in. You know what I mean? But one day.
All right, well, let's take a little break to say hi to people a little bit, looking on the chat, and also thank our new subscribers.
New subs.
PT Chemist, thanks for a 2-month sub.
That's
awesome.
Awesome. Me Starbucks, 6 months.
Ooh, yeah, I think
thank
that you. Me Starbucks, now you get the fancy.
I think you get the supervisor with the supervisor. Headphones now. Yeah. That's awesome.
And then Jax Forbes.
Jax Forbes, thank you for the 3-month resub. That's awesome.
Any plans to do any meet and greets in the future?
We've done like one, but
we've done a few. Like every
think about it.
Every place that we go to, like a big event, we do meet and greet people, and I think that.
And there's often like pre-planned meeting, like group meet and greets. Yeah. Like it's interesting. I just have the feeling that if we did one in Houston, like I have the fear that like no one shows up, and like you have to like pick a place to do it and like pre-talk to the people there just in case a lot of people do show up.
It's hard to get like a number count. If too many people show up, then that's health and safety risks. And if few people show up, that's kind of sad.
I think I'm traumatized by our like West Elm story.
Oh, the West Elm story. But I mean, we were at like no subs
but still, I'm like, no one's gonna show up. so we haven't really done. We've done meet and greets like when it's attached to something else.
Yeah.
But I mean, that doesn't mean that we won't do it. Maybe I'll get over my fear that no one will show
one,
up.
One thing we definitely want to do is I really hope that there's another big conference in the U.S. that a lot of people are coming together at where we can kind of...
Like if Maker Faire comes back?
Like if Maker Faire comes back. I just... Yeah. I'm so sad that Maker Faire is no more.
Yeah. So, we'll see.
Yeah.
I just like randomly looked up at the chat and I see TJ saying, oh no, Caitlin's a pirate. I'm like, I don't know what's happening. How did he overlay the emojis on there? I don't know. Oh man.
Oh, that's so funny.
Yeah. But maybe like if we put out some feelers and we could get an idea for how many people would come, it would make it a little bit easier to plan and like see, you know, we've never like done anything.
We're definitely not opposed to it. And we have... We want to do something like that in the future, so yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so what are some of your favorite shows and films? What genres do you enjoy by Telectra?
We watch a lot of YouTube, but I guess in terms of non-YouTube stuff...
Well, I think let's acknowledge, like, it's interesting. Let's acknowledge the YouTube that we watch and kind of talk about some of the genres and
We watch more like kind of general entertainment type stuff, like kind of more mainstream stuff, honestly, on YouTube than maker specific stuff, although there are a few channels where that kind of overlaps.
Yeah.
So
we watch a lot of Bon Appetit.
Like we love Brad, we love Claire, we love so many of the people there.
And there's even new series that we found out, like the
Pro Chef.
Like I think that they need to work on their marketing and their titles and thumbnails, because we just randomly clicked on a Bon Appetit video.
Where one of the chefs gets kidnapped.
Mystery.
She gets kidnapped and taken to an ostrich farm.
And there's like clues and there's like intrigue and there's...
And the title is just like Pro Chef Learns How to Cook Ostrich Eggs.
Yeah, but there's so much more than that.
Yeah. So we watch a lot of Bon Appetit. We watch Simply Neurological, Jenna Marbles, Try Guys, Sophia Nygaard. So yeah, again, a lot of like mainstream stuff. But we watch a lot of Bobby Duke, William Osman. Those would probably be the ones that are like maker and entertainment.
Yeah. But yeah, because I think it's like, I think that YouTube can be shows and films, you know, because maybe not films.
I mean,
potentially
it's shows, because a lot of the stuff we watch is like we're still
repeating
watching the
series and stuff.
Bon Appetit, like Thanksgiving Making Perfect, and every episode's like 40 minutes long. That's like a TV episode. Even our average video length these days is like 25 minutes. You know what I mean? So I feel like it like counts as a show, basically. Yeah.
And in terms of how do you divide it? Should I say traditional media?
Yeah.
Traditional media, like stuff. Now Netflix is a strange mix, because is Netflix traditional or is Netflix like in its own third category?
I think Netflix is traditional media at this point.
Yeah. Same with like Amazon's.
I think so.
Original programming and stuff.
Because it's all, none of it's like independent creators. Yeah. If it's not independent creators, I kind of consider it traditional media. If it's like tied to big companies with big budgets and restrictions and stuff like that. So we don't have cable. We have my mom's Netflix account. So we watch some stuff on Netflix. Like we watch like Stranger Things. We watch the new Queer Eye. There's like, I don't know. There's not too much we watch that's not on YouTube.
Well, really, we have a strong aversion to wasting our time. Because we don't...
so it's not that much time
we don't have much time. So it's like, we only want to watch, like, sure bet type things.
It's so funny. Every now and then I'll glance up at the chat and I just see a wave of butts. For anyone joining and wondering why everyone's spamming butts, it's because... So usually we use our Twitch for streaming games and it's a lot of like Minecraft and stuff. And there's lots of talk about like, oh, Minecraft channels are going to get like slammed by Copa
something.
And so it's like, well, we got to make it not kid friendly. Let's just start saying like... inappropriate things, but we don't want to make it like age restricted. So we just decided that periodically everyone needs to yell butts in the chat. And so if new people are wondering, that's why. let's see. Do you prefer to fix things that aren't working or make new ones by Foxy Mara? I think probably make new things is more fun. Mm-hmm. At least for me, I prefer to make new things. Just because it's more open in what you want to do. And I do think sometimes it's cool to take a thing and modify it in a new way. That's not necessarily like fixing something, though. But like the IKEA stuff, or when we went antique shopping and poured marble on the like old trays. That's kind of like taking a thing and modifying it. And even honestly, in our projects, like we have a project coming up, or I guess we've done this in past projects too, where we'll take something that's kind of already partly made. Like we use butcher block in every desk video. And so like we'll take that and upgrade it. Oh, hello, supervisor. Hi. Let's see if the supervisor wants to hang out. But I think we like making new stuff more than fixing. Hi, want to hang out?
Hello.
Evan's mic wire's in the way. Come on. We'll see if the supervisor will bless us with her presence. What about you? Do you feel the same way? Or do you like... I mean, you're probably better at fixing things. I think if you scooch in, she'll come. She doesn't want to go in front of... Oh, there she goes. Hi! Come on.
Yes. Hello.
We have a supervisor.
I like making new things. I like trying to come up with my own solution. I like trying to come up with my own... I love inventing. I love coming up with neat, clever little things.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
I was telling him, Evan's mom stopped by just a little bit before we started doing the podcast, and I was telling her about how we have a blessed command on the chat when the supervisor shows up because she's blessed us with her presence, and she was like, what? Yes, here she is. Very hard to see. You've exposed our green screen. No.
You can see all of the various computers we have. One tiny hidden one here.
I'm trying to like scooch
another
her.
One here. Another one there. Now another the cup one is there. In another front one there.
Yes. Hello.
Hello.
I'm supervising.
Okay, so what are the best starting tools for woodwork? I think we've answered that a few times.
I mean, I think, and there's two similar questions by Nia Twins, and then again, Abby Lane 64, which is a, oh, that's a good budget. Never mind. So we'll get to that one separate. Yeah, in terms of tools, I think just get what you need for a project, because if you try to guess what you're going to need and you just buy a bunch of tools, they might just end up sitting there not getting used, or you might later on, you know, 6 months from now when you finally use it, you might know more and realize, oh, I wish I would have gotten the miter saw that, you know, has a bigger blade because it's not that much more expensive and I could do so many more things. So I think like don't buy more than you need.
Yeah, buy per project.
Yeah.
Now, it also depends on what types of projects you're going after. Some people, the best tool might just be a 3D printer. And you just get into 3D printing, and that's one tool that, like, to get into 3D printing, all you need is a 3D printer, and you can just 3D print as much as you want. If you're doing woodworking, that's a whole other set of tools. If you're doing leatherworking, that's a whole other set of tools. And depending on the space that you have and why you're making, would recommend different materials. If you have a very small space and you just want to make just to make, maybe leather working might be a good thing for you because it's really small. All the tools are small. Mm-hmm. It's a very small thing and you can just put it away really easily. It's relatively cheap, I think.
We've done 2 leather projects, you know?
So we're not the best to give suggestions there.
But I think the general rule of like pick a project that you're excited about and just buy what you need for that.
And the excitement is the most important thing.
Because then you'll do it.
Following through and finishing the project is the most important part because then you might want to do another one. Then you might want to do another one. You get like pulled in and it becomes more meaningful and you get a lot of enjoyment because a lot of this is, if you're good at things, it's more enjoyable. I don't know. And doing things again and again and doing things that you're more excited about makes it more fun.
Yeah. See, what would you suggest is a good budget / materials tools to get started? Okay, so that one's kind of similar. Again, like, I don't really... It's hard to say what a good budget would be because it all depends on the project. Like, we just try to, when we're buying tools, we read a lot of reviews. And... if it's something that we foresee ourselves using for a lot of different things, we tend to not go with the very cheapest option because we've made the mistake of going with the cheapest option and then we have to upgrade like less than a year later. And that's always kind of painful. So I wouldn't set like a specific budget, but I try to get stuff. It's like striking that balance between like, you don't want to go out and buy Festool everything and like ruin, you know, your entire savings, but you also don't want to buy stuff that you're gonna have to replace immediately. So
So are you gonna make more soap? Possibly.
Oh, yeah, I want to. That's from
It was really fun.
Knife Roxas. Yeah. Yeah, I would like to do more soap stuff. We kind of like go on tangents and then we get distracted by other things. I still want to do candle making too. Like I think that'd be fun. We went down this rabbit hole of, do you guys know the carved candles?
Oh yeah.
Where you like dip them in multiple layers and then carve them. And we're like, oh, maybe we'll try that. That sounds fun and easy. We watched a video. Oh my gosh. It's so complicated. It's so skilled. You need so many vats of wax.
So many vats. And also you have to, the wax has to be at the right temperature. Sometimes you need to cool it. Sometimes you need to warm it. You have to work really quickly so then it doesn't get too cold and brittle and it breaks and shatters and very it's just like ooh. But it did look incredibly satisfying. It's definitely an oddly satisfying thing.
Yeah. When you were selling your deer heads, etc., how did you decide on a price? How did you decide to price an item to sell to the average person? Okay, and that's by WowGirl93. So that's referring to not everyone may know this, but we used to sell products. So we started like on Etsy and then we started selling to West Elm on like a wholesale basis. And we would do like pop-up shops and stuff. And the way that we decided to price our things is we looked at what similar items were going for on the various platforms. So like at West Elm, you know, when we were going to start doing pop-up shops there, we said like, hey, what's a good price point to aim for? Like we talked to the people in the store and they said, oh, for pop-up shops, keep it under 100 because, you know, under 100 is still kind of an impulse buy. If you go over 100, people won't just buy it on the spot. And so we then worked backwards and figured out how we could make the things we want to make, like what materials and processes we needed to use to keep it under 100. So we kind of worked backwards in that way. But you can also just like, if you already have something specific in mind, you know exactly how you want to do it, or you already have like a stock of it, you can just look at prices of similar things, you know, to stay competitive.
And I think that we're going to shout out our friend's podcast here. Made for Profit. I'm not sure what episode it might be, but they kind of go into how to price products for sale, and they kind of spend a whole podcast talking about that, and they have some experience.
They
in
have
that.
a pricing guide. Guide, like a worksheet kind of thing, too.
Yeah.
So it might be patrons only, I'm not sure. But yeah, Made for Profit, great podcast if you want to learn like the business side of stuff.
So...
why and when did you first start using resin by Khaleesi? We our first resin project, I guess the why and the when is kind of tied. So, you know, people have been doing like river tables for a while. And we had this idea that we wanted to do a geode table with resin because we hadn't seen anyone do it. And we had never used resin before. and it was kind of ambitious. And so we were like, okay, well, we really want to do this project. How, like, we need to start getting resin and start practicing with it. So we did a couple small projects.
So interesting, because I'm not sure if we ever talked about that. The geode table was the impetus behind all of the resin.
Yeah.
So it's not like we started like with the resin coasters and then the resin slice and then went to the geode. We didn't go in that order. We thought of the last one first and then built these building blocks to get us to the confidence to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. So we did two resin projects before the geode table, just so that we could practice with resin because we had never used it before. And then after
so that, glad we did. Oh, it would have been
like fell in love with it.
It would have been such a big mistake to go straight to the resin geode also.
I think we would have been okay.
We might have been okay, but we would have been so much more panicking.
Yeah, it would have been stressful. Oh, actually, no, we wouldn't have been okay. By the time we did the geode slices, we were fine. But if we didn't do that initial practice video where we just poured random stuff into coaster molds, because those all looked pretty bad.
They looked like, looking back,
they're pretty bad. I tried to do a geode. It does not look like a geode. Oh, hi. Are you leaving?
Oh, bye.
Bye. Okay, she gone.
You know, she checked in on us, making sure that we were doing the podcast correctly.
Yes.
And she can move on now.
Yes. Let's see.
So what were your first jobs?
Liam
Baloney. I think that we've talked about that some in the previous podcast.
We can touch on it briefly.
I was an engineer.
I was a graphic designer.
And they were good jobs.
Yeah, they're fun jobs.
They're fun jobs, but I think, you know, we've talked about this potentially a little bit more in the past, but I'll just, you know, might as well go into it a little bit more. We just really wanted to be together, and we wanted more time together, and we couldn't really find jobs that were like...
That and also allowed, like, you to hang out with your spouse all day.
Would it be kind of weird if we worked in the same office? Would that be cool or would that be weird?
It'd be cooler than not working in the same office.
Yeah.
But then, it's not, like, as cool as this.
But then, like if I saw you in the hallway, could I give you a hug? Would that be, like, acceptable in a workplace?
I feel like people, if they didn't know we were married, it might be weird. If they just saw, like, two coworkers hugging. I don't know.
Or, like when we sit together at lunch, if I, like, put my arm around you or something like that, they'd, like, think that I'm harassing you or something.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. But anyways... There are good jobs, but this again, I think, is potentially, like, one of the best possible scenarios for both of us. We both like making stuff. We both like being creative. We both like documenting the process of creating, and we both love sharing it. And that's all of what we do. And I think it'd be hard to combine all of those any other way than what we're doing right now.
Yeah. I mean, we kind of had tried just in hobby form doing a blog, which is similar, but what we've realized, even though editing a video takes so much longer than doing a blog, like, taking photos of every step and writing seems so much more tedious, and video editing is more fun. It's so much easier to, like, add humor and stuff. So I think it suits us better. We just didn't know it at the time.
Yeah. So, Caitlin, this is a good question for you. When editing, what is something you focus on most? Would it be the lighting, coloring, the sounds, the composition? I think it's or something else.
L. Toiver.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's actually none of those things, really. I focus on pacing. So things like lighting, coloring, sound. Actually, they're kind of first in a way.
During the filming.
Yeah, like, those are all, we try to get those as good as we can during the filming so that I don't have to spend time editing the color and the sound and stuff like that, because I used to spend so much time getting it right, especially, like I said, back when we were using the sun for our light. Oh, so much time post-processing. and we don't really worry about, like, composition too much. Like, things are going to be framed the way that they're framed. So most of my time is spent on the pace and making sure, like, it's a good balance of faster paced parts with slower paced parts. So you have, like, a chance to breathe, and going back and forth between, like, when we're in montage mode, or if we're filming something in more of a, like, real time style, like when we do resin pours and we just have the camera rolling the whole time. So that's kind of related to a question we get sometimes about, like, do you aim for your videos to be a certain length? And we don't. I just aim for a certain pace so that like I don't get bored watching any scene, but I also don't feel like it moved too fast and I need to go back because I missed something. So it's like trying to balance those two things. I think that's the main focus.
Yeah, and like Caitlin said, we did spend there's a time where we are going through like buying a new camera and we're like, okay, let's buy two new cameras, let's get this all set up. We spent days researching what cameras to buy, and then we spent days going back and forth from the garage to the computer where we would change, like, you know, would set up the lighting, would do the color balance on one camera and color balance on another camera, make sure that the color profiles matched because we're using one Panasonic and one Canon. And we wanted to make sure like the temperatures, the hue, all of that looked the same for both cameras. So we spent a whole bunch of time fixing that once.
Yeah.
So then we don't have to do it again.
Yeah.
In every single video.
It's so especially boring. It's like the worst part.
Especially because like 98% of our filming is all done in that one garage.
Yeah.
So if we can get the lights constant and the color balance constant, then we're good. We're still trying to work on the audio. The audio is still a little bit of a thing that we're in the process of working on because we have kind of very specific requirements we want. Yeah, I won't get into all of the technical details, but we're still working on audio.
It's harder when you have two people than just one person. Like, you're more limited in your options.
You're more limited in your
options. Especially if you don't want to be like syncing multiple audio tracks, which
we don't want to do that. We just want everything on a mono already pre-mixed. We just go.
Just go. Just do it. Let's see. You can only have one tool for the rest of forever. What would you choose from the Britain DC?
I think I would possibly go like one tool. I'd say a 3D printer. And then I'd cheat, and then I'd make all the other tools with it. 3D printed table saw, 3D printed drill, 3D printed jigs, 3D printed table saw. That'd be kind of awesome and so scary.
What do you do for the blade? You're not going to 3D print it.
Well, but like, they're, you can get consumables. A blade is a consumable.
Okay. I guess so. I guess that works.
I don't know.
that's a pretty good answer. I don't really have a good answer.
Yeah.
Yeah, the tool that makes tools.
Your tool would be a camera.
Oh. Yeah.
And then...
And Adobe Premiere.
And then would play with dirt in the backyard and build stuff. I don't know. Ancient technology. Primitive technology. Because primitive technology, the only camera he has, or the only tool he has is a camera, and then he builds the rest of his tools using
the environment. We'd be primitive technology, but with a 3D printer.
That'd actually be like an awesome channel. Like, primitive technology, but with a 3D printer.
Yeah.
And then, like, everything is, like, wrong.
Yes. Let's see. Have you ever considered doing challenge videos where you both go off and do your own things in secret and then see which is best? Archie. We have actually done that once where we kind of did it secretively.
Semi-secretively. The mashed potato launcher that we filmed in one day on Thanksgiving Day.
We filmed it on Thanksgiving Day and launched it. And launched it like, I think the day after Thanksgiving because we're like, we need a Thanksgiving special video.
Yeah.
And so we made mashed potato launchers and we kind of competed and we could only use like scrap material we had on hand.
I feel like we could film something like that better now. But also, I think that the one big problem is we would almost need a camera person.
Yeah, that's the issue. Is we would need like a camera person because the way the style of our filming works is a lot of it's us interacting together, and like when we have moving cameras, it's one of us filming the other person, and I think it'd be hard to do that and not see what the other person's making. You know, we could put up like a wall between us and have a camera person.
But also. A lot of what we have fun doing while we're making is interacting together.
Yeah.
It's so, like, I love like
messing with me.
No. like our energies combine and they're better. I think that one thing that both of us kind of learned when we were vlogging is it's hard to like have the same energy when it's just you.
Oh, you mean when we did like little test for fun vlogs but on our own?
Yeah, you
like
even
last
filmed
year.
A third one that never came out. I'm spilling the beans here, but you even filmed one more like a secret vlog and just to like warm up and figure out how to vlog.
See, basically see if we wanted to do vlogs because we've gotten some requests.
Yeah. And there's a portion of it where it was just you. And
it was so hard to film by myself. I'm just not used to it.
Yeah, maybe it's just something we need to practice more. Maybe we just need to try more in the future. But
we kind of do. So instead of doing like competitions where it's totally secret, we often will add small competitive elements where we each do our own version of the same thing. So like, for example, the antique tray with the marble resin pour, or like the resin planets. Mm-hmm. You know, we would each have our own version of it. You know, we can kind of see like whose is best. So it's not like a secret necessarily, but we have like some semi-competitive elements.
Yeah. Okay. So I think we already got that one.
Are you checking out questions?
Yeah.
Who would you most like to collaborate with?
I think that we have theorized and kind of brought it up very nebulously, but Bobby Duke.
Yeah, I think it'd be super fun. Collab with Bobby. He's probably our two most requested collabs are Bobby Duke and Simply Nailogical. But like, we're friends with Bobby and Christine does not know who we are. So yeah, I think like, one of those is a lot more likely to happen. Great to like, and also Bobby's in Texas.
It'd be great to like meet Christine and Ben at like VidCon or something like that and get to know them and establish a relationship. That's how we'd like to do collaborations generally.
Yeah, we don't really collab with people that we don't know already, like just
because
like
because then the rapport isn't there and I want
to
know,
we don't want it to like feel unnatural.
Yeah So I think that we've met and hung out with Bobby like 2 to 3 times. Mm-hmm. And he was open to maybe doing a collab, but at the same time there's a lot of like logistics that go into a collab that like we still need to figure out, and he's really busy. He's off in California right now doing a whole bunch of,
we haven't like brought up any specific ideas to him yet. We just think it'd be super fun. Yeah. So who knows?
He's just an awesome person.
Yeah. He's awesome, dude.
When are you going to get a cat cam at the streaming desk? Soon.
Yeah, we do want one. I was thinking about that the other day and I was like, where do we put it? And because it would
just
be
like,
I mean, like where on screen do we put it so that it doesn't block other stuff?
Because we're already blocking a lot.
Like, do we just replace our faces with her? Because she's the most important one. But also, like, she's on my lap, so it wouldn't be, like, a green screen in the background. It would just be, like, a square that's, like, my belly and her head. You know what I mean? So, I don't know.
Maybe we need to... Oh, you know, maybe, Caitlin, we do a project where we build a green screen cat bed.
But that's relying on her using the thing that we make. Yeah, you know what she's going to do? She's going to hop in my lap.
Yeah. It's not likely to work
because
well.
I'm warm and toasty and I give her pets.
Yeah. Nothing can compete with that. Okay, nothing, Caitlin, can compete. We turn you into a green screen.
Yeah.
When you stream, you have green pants on and a green shirt.
What if my shirt
right
is
here.
Green? Yeah, just on the belly.
Oh, no. You can just get green tights. Pull it up over your shirt. And then there you go. Super stylish.
Super stylish.
And green screen. And you have to green screen the chair too.
Yeah.
Just
a
green screen blanket.
Just a green blanket.
A green blanket.
Oh, it's so easy.
That actually work.
And she would love it.
She'd love it.
She wouldn't like tights. Juby prefers pants. If you're not in pants, she's a little bit more hesitant about being in your lap.
She'll like look at you and go like.
She's like, this is okay, but I would like you to put on pants.
And she just like, she like will look at you and you know what she's thinking.
Yeah, she'll like put her paws on your lap and kind of like stand up and she's like, you're in shorts or like you're in leggings.
No.
I don't know. Do friends and family always ask you to make them things? And is it hard when you have to say no? From Meltron 11. People don't actually super often.
I think it's because we never set a precedent.
Yeah.
It's like if we did it for one family member or friend, then lot more would potentially
We've done
ask.
Little things, mostly like 3D printed stuff, because that's a little bit more passive. So like, oh, you need a knob for or the pool cover, because they don't make that anymore. Like, we'll 3D print your pool cover.
I think that there's another aspect to it also, and I think that we've explained it enough to our friends and family so that they know and understand what goes into making a good YouTube video, because it all starts with the idea. Like, that's the like so much of an important part of the video. And also, will it make for a good thumbnail? Will it make for a good title? Because clickability is such a huge part of YouTube. If you can't get a good title or thumbnail, then it's not going to do that well.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, I think that initially, like, we might have gotten some requests to fix a bathroom sink, like the drain or something.
Yeah, there were definitely requests we got in the beginning, like, oh, do you want to fix our sink? Because it's not working. You can make a YouTube video out of it. And we're like, I don't think that video would do very well. But we have taken some requests.
If we made a resin sink, that's kind of like, if we made a glow-in-the-dark resin sink.
Yeah. We've done like a couple requests. Like we did like the wine rack for my parents.
Oh yeah.
You know, so a couple of things where we were like, oh, that would be
big enough or
pretty cool.
Yeah.
Or like we said, if it's something like little and quick we can do. But I think our parents and our families also know, I mean, they like see how busy we are with stuff and they know like, you know, they can put in a request, but it may not happen for a really long time.
Forever.
So, yeah.
So, no, that's not much of an issue just because we never let it get there.
Will you ever go to rent studio place for a workshop or a filming studio by Vander's Attack? I would prefer not to just because, like, I don't want to deal with renting a place. And also, I like having it be at home because especially with things like take like a resin pour, for example, it takes 30 minutes to, you know, do a big pour. And then it's got a cure for overnight.
But also, might need to do a second layer within 2 hours. And then you might also need to peel the tape.
But also, you can't really easily do, like, it's not like you could do that and then start working on your woodworking project that creates a lot of sand dust because that will get in the resin. So it's like
with the Infinity table, as an example, we thought that we were done. We did a pour. It looked fine. And then we went inside to go eat. And right before we started eating, I just popped out into the garage to check on things.
Saw that it was warping.
And it was warping and everything was wrong. And it's like, what if we had have gone to, like, you know, if we had a studio away from our home, we like finished for the day, we poured the alcohol or the resin and we left thinking it was all okay. And then it all went wrong like 20 minutes later.
We still would have been able to fix it, but it would have delayed us by like 24 hours instead of 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So we just like having our workshop be at our house. So I see us keeping that.
Yeah. And potentially some people have, you know, who face similar issues to us. They're like, I really like having my workshop away from my home because it creates a separation. And I think there is something to be said for that. But with the amount of stuff we're doing and trying to fit into our day, optimization is number one.
Yeah, we know like work-life balance isn't really a thing right now. Yeah. And having a workshop far away wouldn't really help us have better work-life balance. It would just mean we'd be driving more.
Yeah.
But I also think like I feel like if we got to a place time-wise where we could have more work-life balance, I think we would. Like we like having you know, more free time and stuff. I don't think we would like fill it up with work unnecessarily. Of course, as I'm saying that, I think a lot of people would look at what we do and say we've already filled it up unnecessarily.
But at the same time, I mean, friends and family have asked us about, like, you know, and I think that a lot of people have maybe wondered, have we addressed why we started the gaming channel when we already had a successful making channel?
And the podcast. I don't know.
All right, let's just add another thing into the mix. I think we're just looking long, long, long term. I mean, you see a lot of other YouTubers and the things that they're going through, and no person has really had a full career as a YouTuber yet.
Yeah, not really. Not in the same sense of like traditional careers where there's a set path. There's, you know, the starting position. There's where you work your way up. You retire.
But for YouTube, it's a different thing. And channels can't stay static forever. You know, you can't have one channel that does the same thing for 30 years. I mean, maybe you could if it's a really good premise that has a lot of growth and progress built into it. But we're just thinking long, long term, and that's what guides a lot of our decisions. Not like a short term reason, but the long term reasons.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure if that really answered the question. What was the question?
I don't know. I think you added a question, your own question, which is why we started the gaming channel and podcast. I think more specifically is gaming is something that we used to do a lot together before we started the channel, and it was one of the things that we had to stop doing. Like, some things we didn't mind giving up, like watching more shows than we do now. It was like, yeah, it's fine. But we really wanted to start gaming again, but we knew ourselves and knew if we weren't somehow making content out of it, that it would be hard to, like, take time away from the main channel. But if we could, like, trick ourselves into thinking it was work, then we'd play. And so we just started streaming on Twitch randomly about a year ago. It was, like, last December.
Yeah.
Maybe January.
And I think that I just slowly convinced Caitlin that we should do this.
Yeah. Yeah, and so it was like a way to, even though it was adding more work, it also kind of gives us more sanity because now a few times a week we get to take like a couple hour break and play video games.
It's so much fun.
Yeah, so, and kind of similar, the podcast is similar. It's like, it's technically more work, but it also helps us take a break and just sit and chat and hang out, so...
Yeah, Pink Stormtrooper brought up Jenna Marbles as someone who's been doing it for a long time and that's still going really small. Jenna Marbles is a huge inspiration to us. She like, it's like, her content's still just like so wholesome. She's still just like such a genuine person, and you can tell that she still just really enjoys doing what she does and staying true to herself and not letting like the machine that is what we operate in like dictate what she should do and everything.
Yeah. I also like that, and this is just because this is like what I would like to do, but I think it's cool that she hasn't overexpanded. Not that there's anything wrong with like building teams and stuff like that. And like, you know, we have, you know, our editors that help us and, you know,
on the gaming channel.
And things like that. But I think like, you know, one of the reasons that we started YouTube is to work together, like the two of us, and, you know, be able to be creative and make things and stuff like that. And, you know, we always had the worry that if we had to expand the team too much, then we'd just spend time managing people, or like we turn our cool, like we're just working, you know, down the hall in our house in our PJs to like an office scenario. We don't really want to feel like we're working in an office.
And flexibility is just so important.
And so like we want to try to stay pretty small team wise. And so it's cool for me to like look at Jenna and see that like, okay, she has, you know, she has like Rome, her manager, and like her mom helps out with the podcast, you know? And that's like, you know, and her and Julian, Julian obviously
film
like,
each other and stuff like that.
But I think it's cool.
Wow. YOLO Snail coming in with 10 months. Look at that explosion.
Dang,
that's
YOLO
awesome.
Snail. Thank you so much for
the first 10 month.
I don't know. That's gotta be one of our longest.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Well, thank you, Yellow Snail,
thank
for being
you.
Long-time supporter. That's awesome.
Thank you so much.
Pink Stormtrooper, thanks for the 100 bits. And
Sign Jurin, thanks for the 100 bits.
Woot woot.
Also, sorry anyone whose names we've been mispronouncing. You know how it goes.
We try, but we also don't want to spend too long stumbling over it. So we just kind of look at it, get a general impression, and just give it a shot. So, Caitlin, this is a really interesting question. What are your goals for 2020, both on your channel and projects by the Brit DNC?
2020 goals. So, one is kind of related to what we were talking about, is we're trying to establish a little bit more work-life balance. Like, if we could stop working after dinner in the evenings, that'd be cool.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Or, like, maybe we continue to work after dinner, but we take weekends off or something. I don't know.
I think the biggest goal is to pull back on how much we work.
Yeah, in some way or another. Just because, like, right now it's, you know, we don't take off weekends. We work every day of the week, and we work until we go to bed, basically. Like, we'll take occasional small breaks to, like, go on a walk or, like, you know... like when Shane Dawson comes out with a new series, we're going to watch it, you know, things like that. We'll take little breaks here and there. But that's probably our biggest goal for 2020.
Yeah. And I think that one potential way we might be doing that is by throwing more buffer weeks in there. It's painful. It's painful for us. I know that you guys don't really like that either, but it's long-term really healthy
for
us.
Yeah. We started doing buffer weeks like the second half of this year, and it's helped us not go more crazy than we did.
Oh my gosh. Like, even like this month that we're coming out of, like
October and November were insane.
Yeah.
And that's fourth, even with buffer weeks.
The 4th of December, a few days ago, that marked like the end of this month and a half long crazy period where we were just pretty stressed. And mm-hmm. I think that there are a few times where I just got like so stressed and I got kind of frustrated when things weren't going right. It's like when everything was going right, things were still good. But if something tripped us up, I would like go, ah, and I'd kind of get a little bit, I'd get a little bit ragey. I call it like a little ragey. I just like it like.
So when you make noises like, ah.
And it's not that bad. I mean, we're still doing the stuff that we like, but the stress and the deadlines and everything, when you have 0 days spare, when you schedule out every single day and you have no spare days and you slip a day, then you're like, ah, what? How are we going to do this? Are we going to stay up late? Are we going to give up even more of our non-existent personal time? It's just like,
yeah,
it's not a good place to get to. And I totally see how people can burn out if they subject themselves to that for too long. So we're trying to stay really proactive and not get to that place.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think in terms of projects for 2020, I don't know if I have specific project goals. We tend to have, we just have like a running list of ideas of stuff. Like 100 ideas at this point. I don't know how long the idea list is. And we just kind of like add to it constantly and pick out ones that we're excited about for upcoming projects.
Mm-hmm. But really just like our excitement level is what dictates what we do next.
Yeah. I do think we want to, play with doing more series. Like we started the Byverse DIY series and that's been really fun. Like it's kind of fun to have like a structure and like be able to put different types of projects within to that structure, and people seem to like that series, and so like we'll continue that and we might see if there's something else we can do.
I think that's 2020 coming up.
Yeah.
Are there any projects you would ever want to revisit because you're more experienced with the material now? Oh, by Uncreative Automaton. That's a very creative question. Uncreative Automaton. I think you're creative.
I mean,
You know what?
Potato Jam.
I, in general, do want to go back and like revisit old techniques, old project types, because the first time you do something is the hardest. And then we spend all this time figuring things out and getting materials. We have like a closet full of materials right in front of us. I'd love to go back and redo some project types.
Yeah, I think for me, it's not necessarily wanting to go back because we're like more experienced. There's just some projects that are really fun to do, but it's hard to justify going back if you don't like make it different enough. So like the pendulum painting was so fun. Like we
had a lot of requests to do it again.
Yeah.
The pendulum. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So we might like, cause we have people submitted.
We thought of a way to mix it up.
Yeah. People submitted a bunch of ideas and then we thought of some additional ideas.
Yeah.
So things like that. But it's usually more because it's like fun and doing it the first time kind of sparks more questions that you want answered about the project. Like, well, what if we did this or what if we did that?
What if it was bigger?
Yeah, that too. And so usually that's our motivation for wanting to go back and redo stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I think that we do want to go back and redo some projects.
Yeah.
By far the highest voted question of the entire Q&A, Caitlin, asked by Foxy Mara, how did Caitlin's goth phase start and end?
Oh man. How did it start? I just remember
it just started with Hot Topic.
It did. Well, I went from like shopping at American Eagle to shopping at Hot Topic. Like
just like one day.
We moved. Yeah. I had wanted to start shopping at Hot Topic because I thought it looked really cool and I like liked that type of music, but it just felt weird in ninth grade or whatever year I was when I moved to start doing that, to just all of a sudden start dressing in all black and with like spikes everywhere. And so I was like, well, we're moving soon, and when we move, I'm just going to start shopping at Hot Topic. And then it just lasted from there until, like...
And then you started working there, and then you spent all of the money you got from working there on Hot Topic.
I did.
It's like, here's your paycheck. Okay, here it is back. Now give me all this stuff.
It'd be my lunch break, and I would just shop. I would just not leave and not eat, and I would just shop and try on clothes and buy things on my lunch break. And I probably, like... slowed down on the hot topic phase in college, mostly because I got lazy in college. And like in college, you start wearing like PJ pants, yeah. You know, like you don't care. And like you're walking to class, you don't want to get sweaty wearing all black.
Both of us are still wearing PJ pants right now.
Yeah. And that phase never ended.
Yeah.
But yeah,
once you start wearing PJ pants, do you ever stop?
No. But yeah, so that's kind of how it ended, is I just got lazy. But I still, like, if I walk by a Hot Topic, I get like good feels.
Nostalgia.
Yeah,
a little bit.
Like good nostalgia.
Sometimes
feels.
We'll pop in.
Yeah, just to like look at stuff. And I still have a few of my outfits, like I have like one of my spiky belts. Yep. I have some of my like plaid skirts with the chains.
Yep.
You know.
Just for nostalgia.
I have my combat boots.
Yep.
I actually have those here. They're in like the costume box.
Just like randomly one day you're just power carving and then you're just like wearing those combat boots.
Well, no, it's for like, because I have like all of like past Halloween costumes and stuff, and it's like a good accessory for multiple Halloween costumes.
Some skit might come up, and then you can be
the
Goth Caitlyn.
That's what we use the costume box for now, yeah.
Oh, you could be Goth Caitlyn
totally.
And Skit.
Oh, we should make Goth Caitlyn a character just so that I have an excuse to wear
my
stuff.
What would Goth Evan look like?
I don't know. I don't think you'd be very good at being Goth.
I just can't do the Goth face. I just like, especially like Caitlyn has this thing that she used to like do that she thought was so funny. She's like, okay, Evan, do your angry face.
Yeah, be upset. Do like, an upset face.
It just makes like my angry face that I can do just makes me look like I smelled something bad.
Yeah. What about try being sad?
What?
Try being sad. I just like see your mouth is fighting so much to not smile.
Yeah.
Yeah. You'd be a really bad Goth.
the pouty 5-year-old. That's what I did. Yeah. The laughing Goth. The merry Goth.
The merry Goth.
The merry
yes.
Goth. Okay, this is another highly voted one. Where did you get the blanket on your chair? I love it and I want one. I think that
this is actually one of our merch items that
prototypes.
Prototypes. So we have this like, you'll see in our channel banner, there's all these little hand-drawn items of like tools, and there's the supervisor.
Yep.
Like 3D printer. Oh, some cat hair. Sorry. And so we got a blanket made to like test it. And then we just never, I think because the blanket, it was on, so we have merch in 2 places, which is kind of confusing. What we send everyone to is shopevanandcaitlyn.com, which is done by 1 fulfillment company, but then the YouTube integrated company that shows up under the videos is a different company, and that company, Teespring, does the blankets.
Yeah.
But what we were trying to hold off is like, oh, well, can our main printing company that we do like 99% of everything, do they do blankets? And so that's why, I mean, is it up there? Is it live?
I think it's up there. I think
it's
I just
live.
Found it.
We can send a link.
I think you can order. I think that another thing is just a little bit on the expensive side because it's such a big print, but I will send it in the chat right now.
Yeah.
So it's there if you want it.
The next sponsor video can feature Goth E&K. Yeah, we'll just use all the sponsored parts to do like as our excuse to do skits.
Yeah, yeah. I actually had a lot of fun recording the last skit. What was the last? Which goes the last skit?
The one we did in front of the green screen. Curiosity stream.
Okay, that was the one that just went live?
Yeah, and we used the costume box.
Yeah, we used the costume box. That was so much fun. I don't know why I have fun, like, creating ads. It's another chance to get creative, you know?
Mm-hmm. Is the cat fur included with the merch, or is that extra? It's extra, I'm sorry.
Yeah, and this, another thing that we wanted to do is we were worried about the quality and how it hold up, but it's held up well. We got this.
Yeah, we've washed it a few times.
We got this about almost a year ago, maybe?
Yeah.
And it's still holding up.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Let's see. Are we planning on doing only dollar store DIYs like you did for IKEA?
That'd be cool.
I think
if we have a unifying theme, if we have a good enough...
Oh, yeah, if we can think of some kind of theme to unify
idea, or even a reoccurring series, that'd be even better.
Yeah.
I think we need to have like a really good, unique, new idea.
Yeah. But I think dollar store stuff could be fun.
There's 2 dollar stores right kind of near us. We could just like pop over there.
Yeah. And I think like things like the IKEA hacks or like a dollar store series are really fun, because it's like, if you mess it up, you mess it up. It's not, you didn't put that much time into it, you know, and it wasn't that expensive, as opposed to building a table out of walnut, you know, or something that like, or like building a treadmill desk out of acrylic and resin, you know, where it's like very expensive and time consuming materials.
You know what I want to do though? I want to build another walnut piece of furniture.
Because it's so dang
nice. It's been too long. I
walnut's
guys,
so fancy.
Every time we, like, one of my favorite projects, I just don't think we've posted enough, shared about, or like given enough credit. Like, well, we never throw back to any of our old projects.
Yeah, we really
Maybe we should start doing that. The entryway walnut table with the finger joints. It looks so good.
It's held up
really well. I know that some people had some concerns about like expansion
Anytime
and contraction.
Anytime
you
do a woodworking video, you're going to get comments saying like, it's going to explode because of the joinery you did.
Ah! But it's held up really well. It's like all of the edges are still perfect. Everything is still just like, it's so good. It's just a beautiful piece of furniture that like really brings me a lot of joy. So I think maybe we need to bring back walnut at some point. I want to do walnut and brass.
Oh, yeah.
I really want to combine brass and walnut.
We did that once, a really long time ago, on the frame. It's in our master.
Oh, right, yeah, now. With the screw things.
Yeah, with the screw things, yeah.
Neat.
Yeah. What's the biggest risk you've taken, and what's the biggest risk you plan on taking?
The biggest risk we've taken is starting a YouTube channel. No. The biggest risk I think I personally have taken is just quitting my job because I was fed up with it. And I didn't know what I was going to do next. Yeah. I'm not sure how much I've told of that story. I think
we haven't really, actually, because like, so like everyone, we like announced when we quit our jobs because like YouTube was promising enough that we could see it becoming like a full-time thing. Like that was on the horizon. And so we quit our jobs. But what people don't know is before we started the channel was the first time you quit your job.
Yeah. I think
we had no plans for anything.
We might have touched on it on an earlier podcast, but I can't keep track of it anymore. So you're just going to hear it again if you've already heard the story. I was working a job that was pretty all-consuming. I was leading a small team, and I was in charge of a lot. I was wearing a lot of hats. I was the IT. I was product development. I was the manufacturing coordinator that I did all of the engineering approvals for all of the drawings. I coordinated the small team. It was just like a lot on my plate, and I worked long hours, and when I came home, I'd eat and would like watch a show or something, maybe, or go to bed, but like would eat at like 8
or 9 or 9:30 or 10.
And after eating, I just didn't have any energy because I was worn out from a long day, and I knew I wanted to change. I just didn't know what it was, and I couldn't really think. I didn't have enough time and energy to dedicate towards it. So Caitlin trusted me. She said, Evan, just, if you feel like you can figure that out, just go for it. And I was like, I just want to quit. I'm done.
Yeah.
So I just did it. Caitlin kept her job, her day job. And she like could guarantee that we would be totally fine because we have no kids, low expenses. We're,
We
bought a very reasonable house that was well within our means. We had savings. So I just quit. And I didn't have much of a plan. I lucked into consulting pretty early on and helped supplement our income there. But then I just figured it out. And that's when we started the West Elm. That's when we started, selling our 3D printed products. I applied to a whole bunch of different jobs, but creating our own ended up being the right fit for us.
Yeah.
It's not the right fit for everyone. It definitely isn't. But it's the right fit for us.
Yeah.
So that was the biggest risk I've taken. What about you? Jumping out of an airplane?
Yeah, but we both did that one.
We both did that one, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
The biggest risk was dating your friend.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, That was probably one of the biggest risks.
That's true.
Caitlin and I...
We're referring to each other. Because we were friends for like 5 years before we started dating.
Caitlin and I were like really like long-term friends. Sometimes would like go a while without chatting too much or seeing each other. It's not like we hung out every day. But like we were the type of friends that like...
In some semesters we did hang out pretty much every day when we had classes together.
We had classes together.
Yeah.
But we were just the type of friends where you just knew that you were going to be friends with that person for the rest of your life, because you just got along so well. You were on the same page with each other. You had the same interests. It's like a lot of our friends were like, how did you not see this before? We had one of Caitlin's friends, like the first time we hung out with Caitlin's friends.
Yeah, she called
it. Like, you guys should get married or something.
Yeah.
And Caitlin was like, no, just friends. But we were really good friends for 5 years, and deciding to start dating each other and convert that friendship into a relationship, that was a big risk. Because
that's true.
What if, like, if it hadn't have worked out, then that would have been awkward.
That would have been
really awkward. So I think before we even started moving into like a relationship phase, we sat down and we talked about like, what do you want in the future? What do you think about work-life balance? What do you think about like all of the things? We're like, hey, I want to tell you all of the embarrassing stories that you might hear in the future. Let's get all of that out of the way so that if
it talk comes about up, all the important stuff that like could be relationship like deal breakers down the line.
Yeah. So we were like, okay, before we commit down this path, let's.
Yeah. Let's like make sure like
there aren't any stumbling blocks.
Yeah, there's not gonna be any stumbling blocks. Yeah. Yeah, that probably is like one of the riskiest things.
That's definitely the riskiest thing.
Yeah. Definitely more risky than jumping out of the airplane.
Definitely more risky than jumping out of the airplane. We had professionals strapped to our backs.
Yeah. Oh, you had a tiny professional. We've told this story, but
it's still funny.
Yeah, because there's like a weight limit for the combined two people when you're skydiving, and Evan's a bigger person. He had have like the smallest guy attached to his back, so if you stood up all the way, you would have lifted
him. It's still a funny thing to this picture in my head. I wanted to do it, but I felt awkward like at the thought of maybe doing that.
Oh, man. How do we come up with our skits from Chris93? I think, so sometimes the skits are, like, based around a sponsor, so there's a little bit of requirements of, like, okay, we have to relate it somehow, but we started doing skits not for sponsors, just as, like, intros, and we really like the, like, infomercial style, so that's what we started with originally, was, like, infomercial style skits, and we just kind of came up with what we thought would be funny. The very first one we did was in the dust collection cart. That was our very first infomercial style skit.
Just because we wanted to make it more fun for you guys.
Yeah, because we were like, a dust collection cart. That's like such a boring thing to build. Like, how do we make it more fun?
So it started out of a necessity or like a desire to make it more fun. And that's just our style of humor. That's just like, I mean, you guys know. You've seen our videos. It's all lame.
Lame jokes.
Lame jokes. Lots of puns. Like, every now and then, the tiniest pinch of innuendo, you know, just like a little little sprinkle,
just
a little
bash.
Just
make sure Copa doesn't get us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, yeah, it just was a very natural fit for us.
Yeah. How was your Thanksgiving? Did you do any Black Friday shopping?
Our Thanksgiving was delicious.
Oh, it was so good.
Like
we got to do double Thanksgivings because we had Thanksgiving at your family and in my family's.
And we got to like combine delicious items from both of our families.
We took leftovers from both, had it a couple times more. It was great.
Yeah, and like sometimes after Thanksgiving, you don't necessarily want to have Thanksgiving again. But we had Thanksgiving 4 times.
Yeah, it was
great.
And
it was delicious every time. And
it
we
was
probably,
like a particularly awesome Thanksgiving on both fronts.
Yeah.
Like both families. Like we and our families are really,
really good
cooks.
Really good cooks, yeah.
So it's like always good. But it was like particularly delicious.
It was particularly delicious.
Yeah. Like and, oh, my brother's Brussels sprouts. Ooh. Oh my God. I've never been. And I like Brussels sprouts, but those were like, oh my God, so good. Anyways.
I think that another aspect of the Thanksgiving leftovers that we have mastered is we have gotten a little bit better about reheating meat.
Which is always hard to reheat.
It's
always
like sometimes the texture changes or like something about it changes. The secret is to be unhealthy, just like every other cooking thing. To make it better, just make it more unhealthy. And you know what the secret is?
Butter.
Butter.
Lots of butter. But
lots
so what we do is you create like a little foil pouch. This is what we did for the turkey, but we've done it with like other leftover meat type stuff before. You create a foil pouch. you put a bunch of butter on top of the turkey or whatever you're heating, close the pouch and put it in the oven, and it like keeps it really moist, and then the butter is like absorbed. We use a lot of butter when we cook also, just in general.
Butter makes things better. Sorry. It's just so tasty.
So tasty.
Yeah. So it prevents it from drying out, because you don't want dried out meats.
And we didn't really do any Black Friday shopping. We did happen to like do some Christmas shopping on Amazon, like I think, which might have been on Black Friday, but I don't know if we like got any deals or anything.
I don't think we really
got any deals. We just happened to be like, oh yeah, we should do some Christmas shopping, and it just happened to be Black Friday.
Yeah, and we didn't do any sales on our own store, just because right now the profit margins on our merch is like not much.
We keep it tight because we do print on demand, so it's like it's a lot more expensive than doing like buying shirts in bulk and keeping stock. And so the profit margins are a lot smaller. So it's, instead of doing sales, we just keep it at that lower level. Cause otherwise, I mean, it would just be ridiculous to have like t-shirts that are like $35, $40.
And at some point in the future, we probably will move to another merch thing. But I think still for now, even at our size and the sales that we have going on, we want to keep it print on demand. Cause Caitlin is prototyping 3 different shirt designs, like right now, different things. We need to order samples. We need to get them in, see how they wear, test it out. And it's still a bit of a process. But when we launch it, we can launch it in men's, in women's, in kids.
In so many different colors.
12 different colors.
And go it's up like, to like 4XL or extra small, yeah. You know?
So it's like the breadth of what we can offer is ridiculous. And there are some pain points in general. But I think that long term, we'll know... I don't think we're ever going to stop making new merch and new designs, but I think that we might stabilize at some point in the future.
Yeah.
And then we can maybe move to, or, you know, maybe we could do a mix. Maybe we can have all of our print-on-demand stuff that then is...
have some that we keep a stock of that we can offer at a lower price.
And we have it fulfilled by someone else. I don't know. There's still logistical issues. Yeah.
What's your proudest moment? By Foxy Mara.
Proudest moment... I think for me, it kind of goes back to making this company work.
Yeah.
Making Evan and Caitlin a viable career for the two of us.
Yeah. So it's hard to like put that on a specific moment.
Yeah.
Because it's a lot of stuff just gradually changing.
It wasn't like there was...
It's not like one day we were not a financially viable business and then one day we were, or like... One day we couldn't see where the channel was going, and then one day we could.
Yeah, I think that when we were starting out, we thought like, okay, maybe when we pass 100,000 subscribers, that'll be the moment where like we consider it a success. But like,
but then we realized it's not really tied to. It's not about like how many subs you have.
Yeah, it was a combination of how many views you get per video, how many sponsors you have, the relationships you have on all these things, how well like, set up is your back end and everything.
Can you keep doing what you're doing long term? Mm-hmm. You know, because you can't like be super successful for 6 months and then burn out, you know?
Yeah. And also like the longer we do this, the more committed we are to like do this forever.
Yeah.
In some ways, it's like... If we do this for 5 years, by that point, I'm just not going to want to do anything else. I'm just like,
I already don't want to do anything else.
It's been like 2.5 years, a little bit more. And I'm already like, nope, this is it.
Yeah.
This is content creation. This is the rest of our career.
Yeah.
So I think the proudest moment wasn't exactly a moment, but looking back at, you know, my life, one of the things I'm most proud of is creating this company with you, mm-hmm. that is so well suited to the two of us that we both like fully share and we're fully invested in. Because one thing, I don't know if we've talked about this much either, but there were growing pains when we were figuring out what we were doing.
Yeah.
You know, like both of us had things that we weren't sure about. We're like, what's the message, the scope, the internal goal, the external facing goals? What's like the mission statement internally and externally? What types of projects do we want to do long term? What type of impact do we want to have? All of that was stuff that we had to figure out slowly over time. Mm-hmm. And I feel like we've gotten to a really good place there. And that just... happened slowly, iterating again and again and again per video, experimenting, yeah. and talking a lot between the two of us. A lot of walks.
A lot of walks. That's where we figured out everything.
Yeah.
How does it feel knowing you inspire so many people to now follow their making dreams? From anxious emo kitty. Aw, that's very sweet of you to say. It is kind of crazy thinking about the number of people that see our videos. And it's a really cool feeling. And at the same time, it's also hard to like picture that amount of people. Not that everyone who watches is like immediately going to start making stuff or anything. And we know a lot of people in our audience just watch for fun. It's not necessarily, to make things, but I do think it's a really cool feeling. Like sometimes people will send, tweet photos or post on Instagram photos of projects they've made based on our videos. And we're like, cool, you know? It just gives you the good feels, seeing other people like not being afraid to try something because they saw us try it. And it's like, oh, okay, if they can do that, then I can do it too, you know?
Yeah. It's something that we take seriously, but we also try not to let it burden us.
Burden us?
Yeah, like...
like the responsibility.
The responsibility. It's like, you know, kind of like Jenna. She kind of does what she wants. But she's also respectful of people's time and, you know, trying to do things the best that she can and everything. She wants to put out good content and everything. And I think that we kind of feel similar-ish. We want to feel the freedom to do our own things and the things that are exciting to us because that's what we need to keep us going long-term. But we also feel like a little bit of the responsibility of putting out good content. I'm not sure. It's a hard internal feeling to express, but it's something that we feel lucky for. And we also take seriously. I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah.
No. Well, I appreciate you faking it for half a second.
Well, I think
words are hard.
Yeah. I think what you're saying is maybe like, this is something that I know a lot of other maker channels try to balance. Like, how do I balance doing stuff that other people could realistically do versus stuff that I just want to do that seems fun? And so in that regard, we do try to mix it up sometimes. And like, sometimes we'll do IKEA hacks, which are like, you know, very beginner friendly projects that a lot of people can do. Like in a video like that, we see a ton of comments like, oh, I'm going to get that lamp today and I'm going to do it, or I'm going to try that on some candles. And then there's some projects we do that we know like are not really practical.
Like the million layer clay.
Yeah. Or even like the treadmill desks, like the way that we did it, not saying a treadmill desk isn't practical. You could totally build that, but the way we did it doing like a giant resin pour and this and that, like, It's not really like the most practical for most people to do, but we just really wanted to. So there is a little balance of balancing like what other people might realistically want to tackle and be inspired to realistically tackle. But we hope that also even when we do stuff that's not super realistic, it might like spark some ideas.
Yeah.
So even if you're not going to make that exact thing, it might make, you know, a process seem less intimidating or whatever, you know.
Yeah. Oh, this is a really interesting one. Aggie Rock and Roll asks, if you could have a domesticated fantasy creature, what would it be? That's a really hard one because so many things run through my head. One, a Pikachu.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Wouldn't that be so cute?
Oh, a Pikachu.
Just like a little Pikachu because it's so friendly and like imagine like a little Pikachu like snuggling like on the couch with us or like sleeping on the bed with us or something like that.
Oh, that's such a good answer.
Pikachu. So Pikachu would be one.
Yeah.
That's from the cuteness perspective. A fantasy creature? What about an incredibly advanced artificial intelligence that would link into all of our computers, help us with editing, line up the audio?
I think you're stretching this.
No. That artificial intelligence could be a creature.
But you're saying this is like a fantasy creature that you've domesticated.
Okay, a fantasy creature. How about a spirit of technology that floated around and said, hey, listen, you have 5 notifications. Do you want me to read them for you?
Do you really want that? I don't want that.
No, but like then the spirit of technology could edit for you. Could like, hey, Spirit of Technology, can you go ahead and import all of the footage from all of the cameras, pull them into an Adobe file, line them all up, and sync all the audio and correct all the audio issues? And it could just like do that because it's the Spirit of Technology.
That'd be nice to have. I still feel like it's a stretch to the original question.
No. It's a fantasy creature. It's a creature, and it's fantastical.
I don't know if like it counts as a creature.
You don't think spirits are creatures?
Oh, I thought it was artificial intelligence.
Oh, no. It wasn't artificial.
You changed it to a spirit?
I changed it to a spirit.
I still think it's a stretch.
No. Chat vote. Let me know. Is this within the rules?
I'd agree with Pikachu. You know what else I want?
What?
Totoro?
Oh, yeah.
I just want a big Totoro. That'd be awesome.
Where'd it sleep? In the trees outside?
Yeah, we'd have like a lot of land.
Okay.
You know?
So this is on our maker farm.
Yeah, it could hang out outside, but we'd also have like a full garage door, like giant entrance that he could come inside and just like hang out, and then we could lay on his belly and watch movies. I think that sounds great.
So we have some people saying it's okay, a lot of people saying it's a stretch. Okay, so it looks like it's a little bit of a stretch. And that's how you get Hal. Oh yeah. Okay. So it's a mixed reaction there to how stretched that is. Sir Guido, thanks for gifting a sub to Foxy Mar. That's awesome.
Oh, thank you. That's so
super cool.
Let's see. You can change any one thing about YouTube. What do you change?
Now, Foxy Mar coming in with some hot questions.
I know. Lots of upvoted questions.
How about this? YouTube is dealing with a very difficult situation. We didn't watch all of it, but Susan Wojcicki just did a 60 minutes interview about YouTube, about the back end, about like everything that's going on there. And they are facing a lot of issues. I think that they hired 10,000
Just to review content.
And I think that someone did the calculation of what that would be if they paid them all like minimum wage, what that yearly cost of that. And I think it was like $50 million per year or something like that, just to review content.
$400 million.
$400 million? Whew.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money. Trying to fix some of the issues that YouTube is facing. I'm not saying that they're doing a perfect job of it, because it's a tough situation. But I think that one thing that I would appreciate as a content creator is maybe a little bit more data, a little bit more feedback from YouTube, detailed statistics on like why something maybe got suppressed or what is going on. And I know that could lead to some people reverse engineering the algorithm, but then just make the algorithm even better. I'm not sure. I know that I'm just like throwing out imaginary answers out there, but the answer really still is YouTube is the only platform doing what it's doing, and it's empowering a lot of people to reach their audiences, to form niche communities, to come together around a whole bunch of issues. Is it perfect? No. Can it be perfect? I don't know.
Probably. I don't think it can.
I don't think it can be perfect.
I don't really think like anything could be perfect.
Now, would competitors be good? Yes.
Yeah.
I think competitors would be good. But like there's no one out there. Facebook, come on, get on that. Like Facebook's attempts haven't been great from what I've seen. It's just kind of bad.
Yeah.
Amazon kind of somewhat sort of has like, you can upload videos, but it's like this, like in this like TV series type weird backend interface. No one can find it. No one can search it. Like Amazon has the hosting power, the computing power, but it's just not, the community is not there. SEO isn't there. The website isn't there. It's just, yeah. So if we could change one thing about YouTube,
I think more transparency.
More transparency would be good. And I know that like there are issues there that they need to resolve. So maybe they're working on that. I'm not sure. Maybe. But that's
I think it's a pretty good answer.
That's maybe something for more software engineers to answer. Because a lot of YouTube is just a lot of software engineering. Because YouTube tries to, YouTube really has to maintain as much of an impartial hand as possible. That's why they need to rely on algorithms, because then they can say, hey, we're not making any judgments, it's the algorithm. But then that creates its own problem. So,
yeah.
But no.
Okay, a quick question. I've seen this one up here for a while, so I wanted to get it. Can you update your website with all the new streaming equipment or make a Patreon video about it? From Seven, I'm Brooke. I think we have...
If you go to our Amazon.com...
Well, if you go to any of our podcast or gaming videos, we have a link. It's like an Amazon link where we have a link to like our Amazon store that has all of our streaming stuff. We can post it here too.
Yeah, I think that this has pretty much all of what we do.
Yeah, but it's also in any podcast or gaming video on YouTube. You can find the link.
Yeah.
But we'll post it.
And I know that we also have a link on our website under tools that might be out of date.
Yeah, don't trust that one.
It's hard to keep everything organized everywhere.
Yeah, you know.
You know.
What's the first piece of furniture we ever made by Cynthia B. French?
Does the love letters count as a piece of furniture?
I don't think those count as furniture. Not. I think the first furniture...
Was that our 2x4 side table?
No. It was the other side table.
Oh, the one that we didn't make a video about.
Yeah.
Oh, that sucked.
It was just like upside down U made out of 1x material. We got kind of fancy. You did dowels.
I did dowel joints.
But it was very wobbly.
It was very wobbly.
Yeah, we like just got some pine, stained it.
We didn't do the best joints. We didn't do... And there was like a little crossbar support.
There's a little crossbar shelf.
A little shelf.
It was okay.
It was okay.
It was okay. And then we made like a somehow like less pretty bench.
It was an ugly bench.
It was a really ugly bench.
I wanted to make it out of aluminum, and I made it out of aluminum and, like, stained 2x4s.
Well, because we wanted it to be an outdoor bench because we had people coming over and not enough outdoor chairs. So we were like, let's just make a bench real quick. And so we made it with aluminum legs and then, like, treated outdoor lumber. It was really ugly.
It was really ugly.
I think your mom has it now as like a outdoor plant stand.
Yeah,
it works better hardy. As a plant stand. It's hardy.
It's all aluminum and stainless steel. It's all treated lumber, aluminum, and stainless steel. So it's like good materials, just not the best design sense. That's when I was more on the functional side of things instead of the practical.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you could only use one color for all your future projects, what do you choose?
Brown, so we can use wood.
Oh, that's pretty good. Yeah.
I think that works.
Yeah, because wood comes in lots of shades of brown. Because it's like, I could pick a color and then everything resin is that color.
Just brown resin?
Oh, no, I was thinking like blue, because blue, you could do like the ocean resin.
Mm-hmm.
You could do like different shades of blue for like geode stuff, or you could do like dark blues for galaxy.
Well, so if it's one color for all of your future projects, does that mean that we can't use wood?
Or we got to cover all of it in resin. In blue resin.
Blue resin.
No, your answer is the most practical. Yeah.
Brown.
Brown.
brown Team and all brown. Of its shades. Like dark brown, light brown, tealy brown. Just browns in general.
I thought Evan would say gold.
Gold!
It's hard. We'd need a lot of brass to make everything gold.
Yeah.
What was your favorite past project?
I think that that's too broad of a question. It's kind of like, what's your favorite movie? It's like, what's your...
You could answer if, like, what's your favorite, like, practical and what's your favorite not practical.
But I have even more caveats. So it's like, when you're saying, what's your favorite movie? Is it comedy? Is it action? Is it whatever? You know, but like, when it comes to what's your favorite past project, is it in terms of the filming? What the edit turned out like? Or...
The project itself?
The project itself.
How about you pick one of those things?
Okay, my favorite one to film was the Halloween ghosts.
Because we did it in like an hour?
That was so fun. It was just like, was I know really that fun. Like is one of our least watched videos, but the process of creating that video was so fun. It was so free form.
It was just like it was a very quick, crafty project.
There was no pain points to it at all.
Yeah.
It was just like such And we had fun filming it. And we did that little like night scene. We created
like the set.
Yeah, too. We did the set.
The Halloween set.
Behind us with the color wall and that everything. Was fun. And you filmed the things at night and the blowing in the wind and stuff. I mean, there are lots of ones that were fun to film. I enjoyed the alcoholic project a lot.
The Alcohol Inc. The Alcoholic Project.
The Alcohol Inc. project. I enjoyed that a lot. But the ghost was just so fun. Zero pain points. I feel like I'm like in the back of my head still searching for an idea that would be like so fun, practical, easy, entertaining, all these things, all of these like magic sauce ingredients to a good project.
I'd say one of my favorite projects in terms of just like, well, mostly in terms of the process, but I also really like how it turned out, was the resin geode slices. It was first time we like really tried resin art, and it was just so magical. And there like wasn't anything that really went wrong, you know? Yeah. So it was pretty chill, and it was just like, this is such a cool material. And like, we're making these things that actually look like geodes. Oh my God. So that was a really fun one.
I almost like want to do that again, but that would be hard to mix up. I think actually we do have an idea on how to do it again, but mix it up.
I also tend to enjoy the weapon videos. Mm-hmm. So like the propane cannon and
the ones where there's like a test, a demonstration at the end.
I think it's mainly, I like shooting stuff or destroying things because that's the part I like. Ditto. So like the propane cannon and like the zombie weapon, the nail flail. Are really fun, but it's because you get to like get out the slow-mo camera and like blow up some fruit and like various stuff. So that's just fun.
Yeah. Let's see. What was the biggest unanticipated challenge in running a channel?
Unanticipated challenge. I think a lot of the challenges we knew were coming. So I don't know if they count as unanticipated.
The biggest unanticipated challenge of running a channel. I think because we did so much research, we kind of expected all of the things that we ran into.
Yeah, I think because like when we started our channel, there was a lot of people already doing YouTube as their full-time jobs. And a lot of people who we had like talked to, you know, not just observed from the outside. So we knew that it would be a lot of work. We knew that like, you know, running your own business is hard from like a like tax perspective and stuff like that.
I think from my perspective, after thinking about it probably for the first time in a long time, the biggest unanticipated challenge of running the channel is knowing what your goal and identity is. Because that's something that we kept on thinking that we had found it. We're like, oh, okay, now we know what we're doing. Okay, now we know what we're doing. And I think it only settled in towards the beginning of this year, 2019. Yeah. And that was after almost two years of doing it.
Yeah.
So it took us 2 years to figure out what we were doing.
Yeah, so in terms of like what types of content we wanted to make. Even though from the outside it might not seem like we varied that much. I mean, we're still doing project videos, but... Yeah, it took us that long to like kind of nail down our style.
And even then, before we even started the channel, we thought long, long, long and hard about what type of channel we wanted to do, what type of precedent we wanted to set. Because once you start making videos, you're setting a precedent. Mm-hmm. And you will either disappoint or happily surprise people, depending on how you shift, how you move, how you keep on going. And so setting the right expectations, setting up a future-proof path for yourself, going forward with like the type of content, your style, your humor, your personality, everything, you kind of need to figure so much of that out. And we thought that we had done a lot of that, but we didn't. And I think that's the most unanticipated part.
Yeah.
How much continued brainstorming went into it after we launched.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay, time management got brought up. No, we knew that was going to be hard.
Oh, yeah.
And also, both of us are pretty good at time management. We both love lists. We have
got so many lists.
We got so many lists, and it's all so organized.
So organized.
We have all of our to-dos in one place. So we have all to-dos. Of our project management in the other, invoicing, tracking, everything all organized, and everything is linked between our two like computers and everything. So time management we got. We just don't have much time.
Yeah, but we knew that we wouldn't have much time.
Yeah.
Like, we warned all of our friends and family before we started the channel, like, hey.
Hey.
We're not going to be able to hang out as much.
Yeah.
So it was expected.
Do you two, or, kill, well.
Kill I because, or BC Will says, you two do everything together. Do you ever feel like you need a break from one another?
No.
Not really, no. But it might not be the same for everyone. We started this because we wanted more time together. Like, we literally wanted to spend all of our time together. So
the only time where I think that we're not happy with the balance of our time together is when the two of us are doing separate things in a day.
And we don't have enough time together.
We're not spending, like, we've been next to each other for a long part of the day. We've been together. We're like, I feel like I haven't seen you much today.
And then we'll go on a walk so we can spend some quality time together. Yeah.
So that's the only time where I feel like the balance isn't right.
When we're not seeing each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I know that seems corny. We are corny.
Yeah.
Welcome.
Welcome to our corny world.
Welcome to our corny world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't really want to spend more time apart. Even when we're doing, like, non-business stuff, we prefer to do it together.
And in terms of, like, what being together does for us, it makes the wins of our channel so much better. We can share it. We know everything that went into it. Literally everything. We've both been there for everything. We help each other out on everything. When we're sending important emails, I always type it up and then let Caitlin review it and send it, and vice versa. And we review business contracts together. We are involved with everything together. Like, everything about Evan and Caitlin is Evan and Caitlin. Mm-hmm. Like,
but also, like, when there's something difficult, we can share that, and it's not just like a burden only on one person, you know? So it makes, like, the goods better, and it makes the, like, struggles not as bad.
Yeah, we don't feel bad bringing up the same thing that's bothering us again and again and again until it's resolved, because we're both affected by this thing.
Yeah.
So it works out really well.
Yeah.
Corny and proud.
Corny and proud.
We have brought the corn.
Here's the corn. Welcome.
Welcome.
But yeah.
Yeah.
I know, we like hanging out.
We like it a lot. Do you worry about video length much? We used to a little bit. We used to kind of like worry that, like, oh no, our video is kind of long this day. Is that going to bother people or whatever? And now we're like, hey, it is what it is. We cut out anything that wasn't good, and what's left is what we feel proud of.
Yeah. The interesting thing is, I will say, because we used to worry, like, if a video was too long.
Mm-hmm.
And because that was, like, a bigger YouTube mentality, and because we started out doing more, like, tutorials, people don't necessarily want a tutorial to be longer because that makes it seem like it's more complicated.
Yeah.
You know? Then as we started moving towards entertainment, the length didn't bother us as much. But I will say, like, I think the last short video we did was earlier this year, our, like, painting our closet doors.
Yeah.
Like, that video, I think, was, like, 8 or 9 minutes. And, like, that seems so short to me now, and that wasn't even that long ago. But I think, like, I do feel like I would feel a little guilty doing too many
short ones?
Under 10-minute, like, short videos.
Oh, now it feels weird to do short ones.
Yeah, now it feels weird to do short. Most of our videos were, like, 6 minutes.
All of them were under 10 for the longest time.
And this has nothing to do with the whole, like, oh, 10 minutes, you put another ad at the end. It's just our average now is, like, 15 to 25 minutes. And it feels weird doing significantly less than that. You know? Just using the IKEA project as an example, and I know we brought it up at the end of the video, but our original idea for that was like, oh, we'll just get some frames and do the alcohol art and set it on fire. But then it was like, oh, there's not enough there.
And that could have been okay. We did an abstract one. We'll try for like a more drawing one. We'll try a few different techniques. We'll try fire, not fire. But like, it just didn't seem like enough.
Yeah. So like, we do worry about it not being like enough. And that's kind of more tied to like what we're doing than how long that takes, but it's related to how long it takes, you know? Yeah. So that's like an odd switch.
Yeah. we were worried about it being too long, and then we're worried about it being too short.
Yeah. But so in the end, it's going to be what it's going to be. Yeah. We won't like ever pad a video because we feel like it's too short, or cut down too much because we feel like it's too long. Like,
our
longest video is about soap.
You know? Yeah, but 44 pieces of soap. Or how many was it?
I think 37 pieces of soap, and it was a 41-minute long video. Like
a few minutes per soap.
A few minutes. It's going to be what it's going to be.
It's going to be what's going to be. Yeah. So I think that when we think about the time of a video, it's more about the scope.
Have you hydrated? Okay, you have one. Yeah, but it's more about the scope.
Once we're filming and editing, it doesn't really enter our mind at all.
Would you rather have a cat with a human face or a cat with human hands?
A cat with human hands.
A cat with human hands, yeah.
Would be amazing. Like, if the supervisor could help us in the shop, you know, like, hey, Doobie, can you hold this? Can you
make yourself
stop
useful.
Opening doors? Actually, that might be terrible. Because then she'd pick things up. If she had, like, opposable fingers, then she could, like, pick things up and cause more chaos.
I'd still pick hands, though. Because, like, cat I don't want a tiny, face. Furry human.
Yeah, that'd be weird.
That'd be too weird.
That'd be too weird. Okay, so... Basically, it'd be like a monkey cat.
A face is just out by default.
Yeah, a monkey cat. It'd be like a monkey cat.
No, but monkey faces aren't human faces.
No. A cat with, like, human hands would look kind of like a monkey cat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. But also, so I was picturing...
Would they be human hands? Would they be, like, large human hands?
That's what I was picturing.
Does it scale? I was thinking that it'd scale and it'd be kind of more cat-like.
Cat-sized, but human-shaped.
Human-shaped, yeah.
Acceptable. Especially if they're, like, furry, too.
That'd be kind of awesome. That, like, we could make an awesome jungle gym for...
Oh, she'd have so much fun. Oh, a monkey cat.
Yeah, a monkey cat.
Oh, yeah. That'd be cute. Yeah, but definitely not a human face.
No.
Thank you, Knife Roxas, for the disturbing question.
Did you know what you wanted to make videos about before we started, or did it... evolve organically?
Generally knew we wanted to do videos about, like, making things and fixing up our house, because we had started a blog that was, like, fixing up our house when we bought it, and, like, making stuff for our wedding, because we, like, DIY'd everything for our wedding, and so it seemed like the natural progression. So we didn't really, like, consider other channel options, really. But the thing that evolved is, like, the balance between making stuff and just being kind of, like, more entertainment based, because we used to do a lot more instruction. So that's
also
what,
like, allowing ourselves to just squash clay and make pots out of them.
Yeah,
you know?
Like, doing stuff that's not practical. That wasn't something we really did in
the
beginning.
I think that we want to maybe, I'm not sure how or when or what genre or what shape it's going to take, but we want to do just, like, fun experiments. And it can be experiments around making.
Yeah.
And then maybe we'll do something practical at the end. Or maybe it'll just be the experiment. But I think that we want to do more science adjacent with Evan and Caitlin type videos in the future.
Okay, I think we should pick, like, a couple more questions.
And then wrap it up soon.
We're, like, at the 2-hour mark. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just saw Mr. Nicholas's post, longest podcast so far. And I was like, oh, how long are we?
Yeah, it's gonna be a long one for me to edit.
Oh, you won't have to edit too much.
Yeah, I'll just leave everything in. Sorry. All of the pauses, and whatever. I'll just, like...
I mean, that's, like, the amount we normally edit. We just leave everything in. There's just more of it now.
Pretty much.
Okay. Biggest thing you're looking forward to in 2020?
I think we already answered that one.
Kind of, yeah. Just having a better work-life balance.
Yeah.
Nothing really, like, external. Just internal stuff.
What was the best we've ever received? Caitlin's coffee maker was a really good gift.
It's our currently most used gift. No, the best gift, I think, are the, like, experience type gifts.
Oh, yeah.
So, like sometimes we'll get a gift that's like stay at this cool bed and breakfast, like, for a weekend.
Yeah.
And that's like there's no other presents. It's just, like, that's the one gift, and that's kind of, like, my favorite gift.
What do you think about my misspelled birthday present?
I mean, that was my favorite gift. No, that was an anniversary gift.
Oh, anniversary.
But it still is a gift. Yeah. Evan's...
I'm joking. You don't need to say... I misspelled a gift for our anniversary. You're welcome.
There's a video of that on our second channel, by the way, if you don't know what we're talking about.
Okay, have you found the item for the next buy versus DIY? We do have a couple contenders.
We do. I don't know if they're going to be the next one. They will be...
I think that they're pushing it a little bit on the envelope of practicality. One involves a butt.
It does involve a butt.
And it's pretty hilarious. Like, when we saw this, we just knew we had to get it and make a video about it. It's just too good.
Yeah.
And that's all we can say.
Another one is another light, actually.
Another one is another light. And we don't want to do, like, too many, like, light-related.
We've only done two Biver's DIYs, and one was a light.
One was a light. So I kind of want to get some variety. We're kind of thinking about, like, the first few things in the series kind of defines the scope of it in some ways. So I kind of want to, like, keep on pushing it before we do a repeat type item. Yeah. But we do have a few.
Which is the second channel. Oh, yeah, we do have a lot. It's Evan and Caitlin 2.
Yeah.
Let's see. Do you do in your lack of free time? Cry. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, no, we go
on walks, and every now and then we'll, like, watch something.
Organize the house.
But yeah, we'll organize the house sometimes. I love organizing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all we have time for. Yeah. I mean, putting like that seems kind of sad, but we really do enjoy what we're doing. But we would like to do. Oh yeah, we see family.
Yeah, we see family. Like for dinner and stuff every now and then.
Yeah, we go out for meals. That's it. that's the extent of the time that we have.
Yeah.
Is filming creative shots or editing quality content more challenging by Mr. Harville? I'm not sure what that means.
I think I think the editing is more challenging. But I might be biased because, like, usually if we're doing a more creative shot, that's more on Evan. And if we're doing editing, that's more on me.
Oh, I do love stop motions.
Yeah, when I think of creative shots, I think of, like, the stop motions. Or I think of when we do, like, half the screen is in fast forward.
Oh, yeah.
And the other half's not. But I still think overall editing is, like, just takes up so much more time than setting up the creative shots.
Yeah. Hey, Caitlin, guess what?
Ding, 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 ding. Oh, it's time for Thing of the Week.
It's time for Thing of the Week. Our Thing of the Week this time is the 2019 YouTube Rewind. JK.
Yeah.
I thought it'd be a funny troll thing to say because it was really boring.
It was so boring.
It was so boring. I saw some like you know. I saw some promotional stuff for it saying we're going to try something different. We heard you guys last year as the most disliked thing. We're mixing it up and doing something different. It was different. It was also just really, it was really boring. Mr. Nicholas is like, wait, it's out?
Yeah. I feel like it was, I mean, understandably, they took less risks, like put less reasons in there for people to be mad at them.
Yeah, it was just like,
but like we honestly we didn't even watch the whole thing. We got bored.
Yeah, we skipped through some parts.
We like redlined it a few times, skipped ahead, man. And then we were like, huh? At first I thought like, okay, are they going to change out of the like top 10 format? And nope.
No, it was like nothing original, nothing creative. It was very bland and just kind of, you know, I think that it was interesting what they tried to do with some international creators, some breakout creators.
Yeah, there's some like good things.
Some parts of that, there's like some good intent behind some aspects of it.
Yeah.
But it
and
was
I
just,
like that it did reflect like what actually, I mean, not that I like verified the numbers, but you know, what it seemed to show is that it was reflecting based on actual data.
But you know what? Another thing they could have done, if they wanted to take the same approach, keep it kind of very, very safe and just do like, here are the most liked things. Here are the most viewed things. Here's this. They could have remixed it all with like a song and like kind of like there's this one DJ out there called DJ Earworm. And I think that he does like, he takes all of the music that was popular that year and does a mix of them all where they merge together and...
But that's a lot harder to do because, like, not all the videos were music. Like, you can do that with music. You know what I'm saying? But what I think they should have done is I think they should have, like all the creators and stuff they highlighted based on the numbers, you know, like, I think that was pretty cool. But they should have then taken those creators and created something original with it. And I know that that's, like, a lot of budget and they had the risk of just being totally roasted again and spending a lot of money and taking up a lot of creators' time just to like get roasted again is kind of risky, but they could have even done like an in-between or had like some of the creators film like reaction stuff, you know, or I don't know, something kind of easier and low budget, and like it didn't have to be anything crazy.
Oh my gosh, O-chan says right now it has 2.3 million likes but 5.3 million dislikes.
Well, you know,
Yeah.
Are there any comments that aren't the copy and paste comment?
Oh, yeah. What was up with the... guys, check out the comment section.
It's all the copy and paste comments.
It's like an organic meme that just happened.
It's like a... Yeah, I'm like, is it a meme? I don't understand.
I think it's a meme that just happened just in that video, just for that video, just organically there. Someone did it and it just caught on and it's insane.
Ah.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Anyways.
So, it's a thing of the week. It may not be our favorite, but it's interesting.
It's a thing that happened this week.
Honestly, we didn't really have enough time to prepare for this podcast. We thought we'd have all this time. And then we're like, oh, let's get the computers.
And they're like, what's our thing of the week? But anyways, we just thought it'd be funny to rag on the YouTube Rewind. Even though I understand I understand why they did it this way. Anyways.
All right, guys. Well, thanks so much for tuning in. If you're tuning in live, appreciate that. Thanks so much for listening. If you're listening to our normal, very long podcast, I hope that we answered some questions that you might have had.
If not, we'll do more of these in the future. We do want to make the live podcast like recurring in some capacity.
Yeah, and we'll keep on mixing up the time so people from different time zones can join in and stuff like that.
Also, because we don't have a schedule.
That too. But I hope you're having a great day, and we'll look forward to
seeing you next
time. Talking at you next time. Bye.
Bye. Probably no after stream today, guys, since the whole thing was basically an after stream. I think we're going to head out.
And the next stream will be video games again. So we'll look forward to seeing you.
Minecraft.
Yeah, probably Minecraft. All right. Bye.
Bye.